Blog Talk Radio.
The Visionary Hotspot. Talk radio with the consciousness of women, for women, by women. A radio show bridging the gap among women desiring their purpose with the world's greatest minds, achievers, and believers of women's progress. The Visionary Hotspot. Inspiring, encouraging, enlightening, and empowering women to live life as our greatest self. I am you. You are me. And we are Visionary Women.
Hello, hello, and welcome everyone to the Visionary Hotspot. I'm Charmaine Caraway, your host, and today we are here with the amazing, amazing One Tough Mother. How are you, One Tough Mother?
Oh, I'm well, and thank you. Thank you so much for that lovely introduction. I'm very well, thank you. How are you on this beautiful sunny day?
Oh, listen, I am doing very, very well. I am happy I am here with you. And today we are talking about taking back our power and beginning to live a life filled with purpose. This episode, everyone, is brought to you by Natalia's Kitchen, bringing the flavor of the farm from my kitchen to yours. So, One Tough Mother, tell us, why is this subject so near and dear to you?
Well, as a single mother and being in the workforce as a woman, I realized early on that if women didn't support other women, if women didn't empower other women, it was very difficult for women to navigate the waters of life. I mean, it's so hard just being a woman in a workplace, especially a workplace that in my workplace, my actual business involved a lot of men, but you need to, there's so much more involved. And I think as women are evolving, they're starting to realize that empowering other women and helping other women and raising other women up takes them to the next level as well. And I'm excited to see that, but I really, really push and that message as much as I can.
Yes, you know, I think we're on a cusp. Do you feel the vibration? It feels as though we are on a cusp of change. And women seem to be taking the lead in all the major areas in which society has ultimately failed. When we think in terms of business, you know, it wasn't too long ago that women actually needed a male family member to sign for them to get a credit card. This was only one generation ago. You see what I'm saying? So when we think about, taking back our power, I would think my generation, we kind of take it for granted, but I think it's so more important for us to reiterate that we're slowly gaining power. It's not as though we've always had it. Wouldn't you agree?
I totally agree. And, you know, and I'll be completely honest with you. I'm in my mid-50s. So when my children were young and I got divorced, it was still kind of new. Like, I was like the single mom. It was like kind of like wacky and scary. Like, people weren't really sure where to put me or how to treat me. And there wasn't a lot of support out there for that. And now I see very, very successful single women and with children and very successful single women in the workplace. And I'm thrilled about it. I see a lot, you're right, we are on the cusp. I see a lot less cattiness. I see a lot more supportiveness. But I don't see enough yet. I don't see it to the point where I'm going to be like, oh, wow, you know, it's really moving. I think the movement is there. I think women in politics and women in high-level executive positions, they help us see that anything is possible. However, we still have to convince ourselves, and we are the easiest people to put ourselves down. It's so easy to give yourself a down feeling, like, I can't do that, or I don't have the time for that, or there's always a but if I could have done this, and but if I could have done that, but if I could have been there. But as so many people think and so many people say, But is a dream killer. I mean, you can't fight your way through life. You need to feel empowered. That needs to come from within. And I think as women, as we evolve as women, we're starting to see that and feel that inner strength. And helping other women help us build that.
Oh, wow. You know, that is so true. It's important that we reiterate to our audience how important, how vital it is to society that we support one another. Because what we don't realize is women are actually the beating heart. And what we allow within our communities are the same aspects in which our children will then survive in, and then they will too grow up and then allow it, male and female. So
I absolutely agree.
When you think of the way a daughter sees her father treat the mother, she too will grow up and expect that same treatment. The same way that same father treats the mother of his children or his wife or his spouse, that same son will then go and perpetrate the same thing he saw his father doing. So again, when we are women and we're collective, we have a strong unit, we realize that we can kind of fill in the gaps for what we're missing at home as a community when we think of what it is that we have to gain. Because we really can't run from one another. No matter how we kind of divvy in each other in reference to socioeconomic, in reference to society, in reference to the different parts of town we live in and where we go to our social clubs, we can't run away from one another because eventually one of our children are going to bump into each other at the Target. I hate to
say
that.
Bam, Charmaine. Yeah. All I can say is bam with that one because it's so, so absolutely true. My one tough mother column I get thousands and thousands of letters. And through these letters, women constantly, consistently ask the same things. And their relationship, their children, their workplace questions. And one of my biggest points, one of my driven home, you have to listen to this, I'm going to hit you between the eyes with this one, I'm going to be tough on you here, this is one tough mother talking, is people can only treat you and talk to you the way you allow it.
Come on.
And by allowing these things to happen, it's going to continue.
Yes.
So you have to stick up for yourself. You have to teach your daughters. You have to teach your sisters. You have to teach your cousins, the young girl down the street, your best friend, that I'm not going to deal with this, and I'm going to back you up if you're not going to deal with it.
Yes.
And that's the way we're going to grow.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's super important to also consider that we tend to look at one another as women oftentimes as competitors versus a unit of sisterhood. You know, it's so funny because I see in society we kind of play into this game of who's better than who based on filling up my own insecurity. So if I'm insecure, I go and I get the best education. I go to Harvard, I go to Yale, I go to Princeton, I go to wherever that I can go. Another woman may come from a very secure family, a very secure home, but those socioeconomics may not be there, so she went to state school. There is a way that we treat one another when we go into the name brand of the name brand so we can make ourselves look, feel, seem, appear to be better than each other. How do we start this? How do we stop this cycle?
Yeah, we've got to break this down to our daughters. We've got to, and you're right. It's how many women have you ever been in a group of women and some woman will walk by and they'll go, "Oh, I don't like her shoes," or "Oh, I wouldn't have worn that."
Right.
It's, you know why? Because society has spent our lifetimes dictating to us how we should look, how we should act, and how we should prepare to look to people on the outside.
Wow.
However,
wow.
We have picked up on that and we apply it. I can tell you story after story of being a single mother. I'll never forget. Here's just a quick one. I'm a single mother and I'm working in a bank. And I had three skirts and maybe two tops, maybe three tops. Mm-hmm. One was kind of yucky, but the other two were okay. So I'll never forget sitting at the lunch table with a bunch of women, and there was another young woman who wasn't a single mother, but her and her husband were struggling. And she walked in, and she put her coffee in the little pod thing and got her coffee out and walked out of the room, and they went, she wore that yesterday. And let me tell you something, I could have fell to the floor because I'd worn the skirt I had on 2 days prior, 2 days consecutive, because that's what I had. That's what I had to wear.
Right.
I felt so horrible for that woman, and I felt even worse for the women saying it. Because why? Why? Why was that important to point out? And why was that important to say? I have worked, I have been a single mother and worked my way up. I own a marketing company. I've worked for the head of NBC, the head of CBS. I've been invited to the Grammys, to the Super Bowl. You name it, I've been there. I buy my clothes at Target, Marshalls, and TJ Maxx.
Come on.
Plus, guess
come
what?
On.
I'm not afraid to tell anybody that. I'm not afraid of
yes.
that.
Yes. I love
I'm
it.
Not.
I love it.
And
I've
been in meetings where women have looked at me and said, oh, where'd you get that dress? It's fabulous. And I'll say, Target. Because guess what?
I love it.
I don't care. I don't care.
Yes.
That's not who I am. What I look like on the outside and what I
yes.
wear is not who I am. Who
yes.
I am is
yes.
the person you're speaking to. So it's the
oh,
look
wow.
in my eyes. It's the constant work and the turmoil and the helping others. It's the smile that when you're crying that'll hold your hand and help you through it. That's who I am. I am
yes.
one tough mother, and I want everyone to be that way. It's sad to say that as society grows, it goes slower than I would like to see the layers peeled back and peeled back and peeled back, but they're starting. They're starting to peel back. But
yes.
it's sad to say there's still a lot of, well, we'll look at that label and whose shoes are they, and just watch any show, and you'll any award show, and she's wearing who?
Yes, yes, yes. Not we're not talking to her on the red carpet about what it actually took for this particular person to her game. We didn't go into that. We're talking about her shoes, her bag, her hair, and see that's when we start demoralizing the value that she holds. How do we know it didn't take her a year to prepare for that particular role? How do we know
right.
that it didn't take her to come out of a deep, dark place for her to create that song? How do we know that the very person that looks like a bum on the street is probably one of the wealthiest? It's so funny that you said that. The reason why I did this huge laughter is because of this very thing I'm going to tell you. I have an aunt who lives in the small town in Tennessee that I live in. And she literally would walk around looking very bummy. I mean, she just did not care. No one outside of the people in this town knew that she was one of the wealthiest black women in the state of Tennessee. Literally.
Yeah.
She looked like a complete bum. She would buy her pants at Walmart. She would buy her shirt wherever she could find it. Clothes were always clean. And when I tell you, this woman was a woman who worked hard in New York. You know, we all came from New York City. And my aunt, she retired here. Her husband, well-to-do. And when I tell you, owned three homes, made sure she had millions in the bank, this woman looked on the outside like a pauper. No
right.
one would ever think that she would drive a regular car and own what she had because she didn't feel as though she had to perpetrate something that it wasn't necessary because she knew who she was. How do we start becoming that kind of secure woman in our own skin?
Right, and you know what? That's so funny because that's what we need to do. We need to keep pushing that message to young women and to our daughters and to everyone who will listen because there's so much. We have, women by nature are multitaskers for centuries,
yes.
for eons, since Adam and Eve. We are multitaskers.
Yes.
We are the mothers. We are the cooks. We are the bottle washers. We are the homemakers. We are the workers. We sew clothes. We till the fields. We are everything. So women have so much to offer, and there's so much to us that I think sometimes we get caught up in society's rule of what we can and cannot say. I don't play that game. I don't care. I'm who I am, like me or not like me, that I'm fine with either one, because I feel like if you don't like me, then you obviously either have a reason or maybe that's your problem. But the deal is we need to teach other women that. We need to teach young girls that, because the internet has made this world extremely tiny. You can connect with anyone, anywhere, at any time. And as a result, if we don't have a strong community of women, we're going to end up being sucked into a vortex of bullying, depression, all kinds of things that are very, very bad. And that vortex is very difficult to come out of.
Oh, absolutely. Like, we saw it here recently on the news where the young girl was at school and she was being bullied. She got jumped in a bathroom and died. They killed this child. And I'm sitting here thinking, when I saw the pictures and everything, and then just paying attention to the volume of the truth that came from that story, they didn't like her because she was pretty. They didn't like her because she had nice things. So a lot of times, we find that we project those insecurities on other people who don't deserve it. So my thoughts are clear. I'm not here to change your perspective about me. What I am here to say is not whether you should look like a bum or whether you should look decent, whether you should buy nice things or not. I have very nice things. But my thing is, I'm not here to flaunt it to the world because I bought those things for my pleasure. I am not here to make you believe that I'm something that I'm not. Because at the end of the day, you're going to assume or presume your own assumptions. When do we get to a space where we are clear about our positions and what we are willing to tolerate? Because, see, that young girl in that bathroom, that's all of us. Have you ever noticed that women seem more powerful in cliques? And there's always the mean girl?
Yes,
that mean girl. How do we come from that?
And you know what's funny? I spent a lot of time on, well, my top mother is 4.5 years old, and I did this on recommendation for my children because I was a single mother for most of their lives, and I was one tough mother. There was no doubt about it. I was very, I was tough, and I wanted to raise them as best I could, but I started this One Tough Mother movement of the One Tough Mother shirt because I wanted women to support women. So every woman that would email me or text me a letter and tell me of a really hardship that they had, I would send them a One Tough Mother shirt. I have built an army worldwide. It's global. One Tough Mother has a global reach of women that wear One Tough Mother shirts and support other women. And I've spent over $7,000 sending out this merchandise free of charge.
Wow.
And believe me, I can put my accountant on the phone. He'd be glad to tell you. But he's like, you really need to sell something. But the reason I did it was it started out with one woman who had cancer, and she wrote me back, and I cried, and she said, I felt so ugly and so bad with no hair. And when you sent me this shirt, I put it on. And she said, I felt strong. She said, I felt tough. And I went to chemo. And the nurses were like, we love that shirt. Where'd you get it? And I was so moved by that. The next woman who wrote me something that was very sad, I sent her a shirt. Next thing I know, I'm knee-deep in plus $7,000 in debt sending out merchandise. But the deal is now these women see that all these other women have these shirts. They know they're supported. They know they're loved. They know they can get help when they need it. And that's such an important thing to know. Know your community. Know the women. Know that you're going to be one of the women that people will come to, and you will help them and they'll help you. Once we build that infrastructure, our daughters and our daughters' daughters will just live a life that we can't even imagine.
Oh, wow. And you know what's so important, too, I think it's super important to also reiterate that you're never going to be all things to all people. So you've got to understand that this is not a movement to appease people. This is a movement to discover you. It all starts back with you. It was one gentleman I remember listening to the radio, and he said, his girlfriend said, you know, you really hurt my self-esteem. And he said, how can I hurt your self-esteem? It's about yourself. The idea is no one can tear you down. No one can build you up. You have to do those things on your own because it's not as though those seeds are not already there. So the idea is if we start the process of discovery, self-discovery, engaging with ourselves, beginning the process to love ourselves, then I think it'll make the whole transition into loving other women, encouraging other women, building up other women, and then letting the next generation of girls see that much easier.
Absolutely, without a doubt. And it becomes clearer as you do it. As you get more involved in it, as you reach your hand out to help someone, and believe me, when I say that I've had earth angels, I can't even explain the experiences that I've had where people, or I didn't know how to do something, or I didn't know how I was going to get money, or I didn't know where I was going to go, and people would reach their hand out and help me. And the more that people reach their hands out and help each other, the more you reach your hand out to help someone else. It becomes such a powerful, powerful movement when you're helping someone else, another woman or a girl or anyone, another man. It becomes powerful for you because it makes you see the power that you really have. Every one of us has such a deep well of power within us. We just need to expose it and not be afraid to expose it to others.
Wow. You know, that is so beautiful. And then what it does is, too, I think, it also works as a, almost as a connector to the next human experience, I think. Because with just this conversation that you and I are having, imagine all of the other women who will hear this podcast and gain inspiration from it. And then they pass it to someone who will gain inspiration from it. So what you have done is you have created a funnel of inspiration, empowerment, encouragement for someone else to feed off of. And what that'll do is it'll make it much harder for negativity, insecurities to develop within the funnel because it has taken on a
shield.
Life of its
own. You're
right.
It's like a shield. It's a shield of power. It's a shield that when you're helping someone and you see that you've helped someone through something, it uplifts you as well. It makes you feel like, wow, that I really made a difference in someone's life. Making a difference in someone's life gives you such a deep spiritual feeling compared to making a negative difference in someone's life. It's so sad that we have taught children to be so mindful of design and fashion and what someone's wearing and the shoes they have on, and that this young girl died for that. She died because she was pretty, because she had nice things. Where does that come from? Did that come from them? They're children. They're born with the same opportunities at birth. They're just alive to breathe and eat, and then they're taught as they go on. I don't understand how that could have possibly happened. I mean, it's difficult for me to, I mean, it's difficult for me to figure out what the mindset of those young girls that beat her was at that moment.
I think if we can think back, because I was born in the 80s, if I can think back to growing up in New York City, I understood those girls' mindsets because I had to interact with those type of girls all the time. So when you think about it, when we're talking affluent, that had nothing to do with it. You got mean girls there too. Going to private school, got mean girls there too. So when you think of it, it's more so a culture. I think it's a culture that we have created. You know what's so funny? that you mentioned this, of how we impose these things into our children. I was listening to a very intellectual man over the last few days, and he said something very funny. He said, I do this exercise when I go to intellectual speaking engagements that I'm hired for. And he said, I ask the audience, how many of you have children? So those who have children, they'll raise their hand. The interesting thing is, he said, now I want you to go home today and look at the pictures of your children from the day that they were born until around, roughly around the age of 8. Look into their faces in those photos. You don't see prejudice. You don't see anger. Right. You don't see hatred. You don't see evil. You don't see loose women. You don't see guys hanging out on the corner. They have only, if they have learned this, the only person they've been around is you. You
right.
did this
Absolutely.
To your kids. So when we think in terms of our children, the change that will occur within our children and the next generation of women, it starts with us.
Absolutely.
We start.
These are learned behaviors. We teach them these.
Yes.
You're right. They're learned behaviors. My daughter and Moles both teach special needs. One has a degree in child psychology. And they say a child's life is formed from birth to 8 years old. Their personality,
yes.
the things that will happen in their lives are formed in that time. Learned behaviors are, she's prettier than I am. Learned behaviors are, he's got better shoes than I have. Learned behaviors are entitlement. I mean, these are things
yes.
that we have taught our children. The entitlement age has really destroyed a lot of what has gone on with children over the past, 20 years, where children suddenly feel entitled to wear $100 shoes. They're entitled
yes.
to have a car. They're entitled to go to a prom as though they're going to a wedding, and they spend
yes.
$10,000 on birthdays. It's ridiculous how we have done that, but these are learned behaviors, so we can't expect our children not to feel entitled because we've allowed it.
So tell me, One Tough Mother, how do we start to break down this cycle? So if you could give my audience 5 crucial tips in this next minute and a half, let me know, how do we start breaking down this cycle?
I think the number one thing is family again. I think family, supporting family and loving one another, I think it's a very important aspect of life. I know I was a single mother and I worked. However, I was very involved in my children's lives. I still am. We still go on family vacation every year, and my kids are in their 20s and 30s. I think it's important to know that you have support from your family. I believe that you should teach your children by actions. Actions speak louder than words. Don't tell your children not to do something and then let them see you do it. I think that's very wrong. I think by doing so, you're giving a wrong message, and children learn that they're watching you. They're learning. They're little sponges. I believe mm-hmm. that women in the workplace should support other women. You should not worry about whether the woman in the next desk has on a pair of Armanis. You shouldn't have to worry about whether she's going to stab you in the back at lunch by talking about what you are wearing. These are things you should just not even have to think about. So women should empower other women and support other women. I also believe women should teach other women. I believe that if you want to build a strong infrastructure of women, you need to teach your sisters, your cousins, your aunts, your mothers, your daughters. You need to teach each other skills to do that, and that's by being that way to them. Teach them how you can be loving by being loving. Teach them how you can be supportive by being supportive. All of these words are just words.
I love it. I love it. Hey, everyone, I am so glad that you have been here to join me with One Tough Mother. Remember, you can always catch the Visionary Hotspot every Thursday at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, this episode was brought to you by Natalia's Kitchen, bringing the flavor of the farm from my kitchen to yours. We'll see you guys soon. Bye.
Goodbye.
The Visionary Hotspot. Talk Radio with the consciousness of women, for women, by women. A radio show bridging the gap among women desiring their purpose with the world's greatest minds, achievers, and believers of women's progress. The Visionary Hotspot, inspiring, encouraging, enlightening, and empowering women to live life as our greatest self. I am you, you are me, and we are visionary women.